Hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Go ahead and open your Bibles with me, please, to the fifth chapter of Luke's Gospel. And in talking about heaven's economy and the kingdom of God and the way the kingdom works financially, more than once, Jesus talked about the hundredfold return. And actually, before we go to Luke 5, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And notice he brought it up in this chapter in talking about the sower sows the word from the 14th verse. Now, the sower sows the word is the subject of this teaching. And he talked about these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that is sown in their hearts. Now, Satan, Jesus said, comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Make a note of always quoting that in the order in which Jesus said it. It's not kill, steal, and destroy. It's steal, kill, and destroy. He's not out to steal your money. He's out to steal the word. If he can steal the word, he's got your money. Amen. If he can steal the word, then he can kill. Then he can destroy. But the word of God is the primary subject here. Amen. Always remember that. So now notice here what he said, and these are they that are immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise, to teach us something? No, for the word's sake. Did you see that? Immediately they are offended, and those which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, not riches, the deceitfulness of riches, and lust or pressures of other things entering in. You don't have to let it enter in. Amen. Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Praise God. It is God's plan for our seed sown to produce. Amen. It's His will for it to produce 100-fold. Praise God. Now, come on over. Well, let's continue to read here then. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Well, certainly not. And not to be set on a candlestick. There is nothing hidden which shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret but what it should come abroad. If any man, any person has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. It's not left up to God. What measure you measure, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath what? Ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear, to him shall be given. He that has not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he had. Who does the taking away? The devil. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowl of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So it's very important to understand motive. Motive and attention. Now, each one of these people heard the word. Every one of them heard the word. Every one of them had the same opportunity. But 25% of them took it. They heard it. They heard it. And I notice, you know, sometimes I'll just go right back to Mark 11, 22 and start teaching. Somebody say, oh, we've heard that. When people say that, they didn't hear it. Because if you really heard it, whoa, you want to hear it again. Yeah. Amen. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Amen. Now then, motive, intention has everything to do, because it's the way you measure it. It's the way I measure it, that it's measured to me. So let's go now to Luke chapter 5. And another thing that it's important for you to have noticed, that Jesus said, the whole kingdom of God is like a man putting seed in the ground. Seed time and harvest. I mean, it's the whole Bible. There's not a human in here that did not come from a seed. Amen, every one of us, amen. You know, you might as well just go ahead and smile. Hallelujah. And when you think about it, everything is a seed. I mean, just the way you act during the day. When Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, actually, what others are doing unto you is what you've been doing to them. You sow that seed and you reap that harvest. If you're a joyous person and you don't, you know, walk around, you're not a grumpy old man. I may be old, but I'm not grumpy. Amen. If you're not grumpy, the people around you are not grumpy. So the seed, it's very, very important. So the motive behind it is just absolutely everything. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. Now I need to show you something here that has been really misunderstood. And it's an extremely important lesson that the Spirit of God put in the Bible for us to learn. the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, plural. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, now wait a minute. Jesus is speaking to the people, not the fishermen. That's very important. They were not listening to Jesus. They just worked all night long, and they're washing their nets. Those things are heavy. It's a job of work to have to wash those things. And they're busy. They're really not listening. Now, what does that mean? No faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Had they been listening, it would have made all the difference in the world where one man was concerned, Peter. Very important. You got the picture now? It's all right to answer. I'm just messing with you, you know that. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, now he didn't say it to any of the rest of them. He talked to Peter. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Get all those nets. You hear what he's saying? You just got through washing them. Get all those nets for a draft. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Not nets, net. And you notice Jesus didn't correct him. Well, all right, buddy boy, if that's, you know, if that's what you want to do here. Amen. And I want to point out something. When God is directing you or directing me, He knows everything there is to know about the situation. Amen. Jesus knew everything there was to know about that situation that day. Amen. Peter thought he knew, and he didn't know anything. And why am I laughing? Because I've been caught in this in this same deal, brother. And I look back and think, oh man, I wish I'd have done what the Lord told me to do. And I wish I'd have done it the first time. Amen. I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. Now, that was not a miracle. It was a bad net. He did not want to mess up all those clean nets, so he pulled out an old net that he could go throw around a little while and satisfy the preacher's itch to fish and throw the thing back in the boat and everything's all right. Now, I'm not just going to leave it with that. I'm going to prove it to you. You like proof? Yes. All right. Now then, And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And wonder why nobody's net broke. Only one net out of this whole deal broke. We were in, Brother Jerry and I. Jerry was speaking at a friend of ours, a friend of his and mine, church down in the southern part of the state of Texas. And so I flew him down there, and I just went along just to hear Jerry preach. And so we were just sitting, man, we were sitting right on the front row. And the pastor was receiving the offering, and he's talking about this net breaking, boat sinking load of fish, as if the breaking of that net was a marvelous miracle. It was so powerful. And that's the way most people look at this. And the word of the Lord came to me with such force and such power, I jumped. I'm sitting there listening to the pastor receive the offering, and it hit me so with such force. The Lord said, that was a rotten net. It was an old net that he just pulled it out of there because, amen. And the Lord said, notice none of the rest of them's net broke. My. Motive. Peter did not want to go do that. He's tired. He just got through telling Jesus. He explained to him he did not want to go. We have toiled all night long. They've had to clean those nets. He's going to be late for breakfast because Jesus wants to go fish in the middle of the day. Oh, Lord. Now, hold your place there, and let's look in the book of John, the 21st chapter. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, John and James, and two other of his disciples. There are seven of them out there. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They said, no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you'll find. Now listen to this. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish, and it did not break. They couldn't even pull the thing, and it didn't break. But that old dried up, old scrounging net that he threw out there the first time, are you listening to me? Yes. Now, go back over here to the Gospel of Luke. And now, Simon, in verse 8, Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees. He couldn't get to his feet. He's knee deep in fish. And Peter didn't catch a one. This is very important. Right in the middle of this massive haul of fish, Peter didn't get in on the prosperity of it at all, as far as the catching is concerned. Now, that's a type of people that don't pay attention, don't listen to what the Lord is saying. You're either not sowing or not doing or sowing what God told you to sow or what He told you to do. If things are not working well, go back to the last thing He told you to do that you haven't done. Amen. He was under conviction about what he had done. And it really hurt him. He knew what he had done. And he was absolutely overwhelmed with all the catching all these fish in the middle of the day. Because you can't do that on the Galilee. And he's overwhelmed over it. And he realizes what he's done. Literally, he's insulted the master. And can't you just see Jesus standing there with a big smile on his face, laughing at Peter and all. You know, he's trying to get down to Jesus' feet and the fish are slapping him in the face and he doesn't know what to think about all of this. Now, let me ask you a question. This is deep. Which fish in the Galilee that day didn't show up around those boats? Which fish said, "Well, not today, Jesus. It looks like you've got enough without me." No. Tracy, I believe all the fish in that Galilee gathered up out there. "Take me, Jesus, take me. I'm here, Jesus. I want to be a fish for you." See, when the blessing himself is on the scene, I want you to know even the angels are ready to bless. I mean, everything is working like it's supposed to. When Jesus is in your boat. But the lesson here is, he can be in your or my boat and we catch nothing because of disobedience. What the man says.
We soon realized that the wages or the salary that was given would just be sufficient for us to pay the rent for what that was given. It was quite overwhelming to see that what he was on was not going to be really enough. Around that time is when I got into the ministry and partnership. Believe me, at that point of time, to partner and sow seed, I couldn't sow more than $5. As soon as I started sowing that $5, my husband got promoted and they said, "We should increase your wages and increase your salary as a consultant." So we saw the promotions and we saw the power of sowing seeds and how God was beginning to bless us financially. I now tell people, my friends, even my children now know how to partner and to sow seeds and to partner with the ministry, and you see the difference of that.
A seed is planted, takes root, grows, and eventually bears fruit. Jesus said this is how God's Word works in our lives. It's time for you to see the promises of God in your life. In the God's Word First Priority Package, you'll receive two powerful resources by Kenneth Copeland, The Word Works and It's All I Need 4-Message Audio Series, and The Only One Thing Mini Book. Learn why in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, in order to understand His teachings, we first have to understand the parable of the sower. Find out what it means to sow God's Word into your life and discover the great change it will bring. Stop being swayed by the storms of life, going around in circles wondering if and when things will change. The Word of God is the one solution for it all, opening the door to healing, restoration, and prosperity. Give God's Word first place in your life. Discover how victory comes when you tend to just one thing, the Word of God. Request your free offer from Kenneth Copeland Ministries today. These resources will help guide you in further understanding God's Word. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call us 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Be sure to request your free offer today.
You know, the story we just heard about Peter's fishing net breaking is a powerful example to us for our own lives. Peter didn't let the word of Jesus go into his ears and take it on purpose and do what Jesus said to do with his belongings, with and put the net on the side and expect something different. He didn't steward that well. So when the moment of abundance came, he couldn't contain it. He had no vessel to contain it in. So we need to steward the word of God in our own life. Don't let fear come in and steal the word before it goes down into your heart. When Jesus says, for example, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. We can't let that go in one ear and let fear steal it before it gets into our heart. We have to steward that word. Let it go deep down in our heart, and then it will bear the fruit like Jesus says it was, will. And when the enemy comes to steal that word from you, you're ready to say, no, I believe what Jesus said, and I'm going to do what he said to do. So whatever situation you're in today, Jesus is there with you, and he has a word for you. He has plans, strategies, resources. Whatever you need, he's made it available to you. You just have to listen to him. Do what he says to do, and then see his plan for your life come into place. So as you obey that scripture, give, you believe that what the word says, and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together so there's no extra space in there. Filled back up again till it's full. And running over is he going to give unto you. Amen? So you believe that as you sow your offering. Lord, I thank you for our offerings, that it goes into good ground. We bring it to you. It goes into good ground. You increase it and bring it back to us a hundredfold return. And Lord, we commit to you. We serve the kingdom with everything we have. Partners, thank you for doing that with us. Thank you for helping us to get the good news of Jesus Christ out from the top of the world to the bottom, and as my dad says, all the way around the middle. We're really grateful for you. We love you, and remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Go to kcm.org to receive free faith-based teaching resources, such as a copy of today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Request it on DVD, CD, or download it straight to your computer or mobile device. Continue to grow in your faith in God and live in the wisdom of His Word. Believe God to bring new visions, His manifested power, and great change in your life.